Awesome, Shannon. Thanks so much. What a privilege to come back and do it again. You know, I mean, it's one thing to be invited somewhere, but to come back is really special. Unless you're coming back to apologize for something you've done. And so it's really, really awesome. And that you've given up some of your Monday morning. We're online here from 10 this morning until 11:30 we'll be done. So we just are so grateful. I felt after the last session there was so much more we could do. We could take it a bit deeper. We could show and tell a little bit more. We could bring in a dynamic youth communicator as well to be part of our session this morning. We've redesigned the breakout groups just to make it a little bit more tailored to what you fed back at the end of the last session. So just what a great privilege. And so today's really about stepping up your digital teaching. Stepping up your digital teaching, because we're not just doing digital stuff just for a short phase in life. This is the fourth revolution, if you remembered from our first session, and we want to go into the digital space long after lockdown is a thing of the past. But for many of us, now it's a major important thing to be doing. So here's how this is going to work. I'll do a brief recap of last session. I'll cover 7 keys for digital teaching. That's going to be the main new information part for this first part this morning. Then that's why you needed to jump onto that WhatsApp group. I hope you're all there. There is a backup on the screen that you'll see in Zoom, but ideally we want you to be on the WhatsApp group. And we'll do the learning experience. We'll come back. You'll debrief that in groups of 3 on the chat. Then we'll take some question and answers. If we don't have answers, we'll say we don't know. And then we'll have a special guest speaker. Stuart Fisher is with us this morning. I'll introduce him later. And I'll end with a final closing challenge. And so let me just introduce myself very briefly. I am the husband of but one wife. So far, my first wife, Debbie, is in the picture there. I have 3 kids. For my youngest, in the front on the right, Drew and Guvu. Then Keegan just behind him, my IT hacker. If you ever want to connect with Anonymous or something like that, he'll hook you up. My daughter on the left, Ashley, not yet married. WhatsApp me if there's any takers that will negotiate Labola together. My dad's there. And I shared at the last session how he was hanging on for dear life. He's out of hospital, back in frail care, so that's really positive. I'm on staff at Every Nation Rosebank, not youth pastor, as I have been for the last 30 years of my life. I'm heading up leadership development across the church. Very excited about that. It's a very dynamic edge of the city church. Everything I've done in the last 30 years, in fact, so much of what I've done at Every Nation Rosebank is online here for you to grab. Nothing is ever charged for. It's www.ymresourcer.com. You'll see that link in the chat. One of the first links we'll give away today. So pop over to there if you need to access anything of that. Very quickly, because I'm on a tight budget of time this morning, here's what we did. Last session, how to step up our digital footprint. We said, let's embrace the digital revolution. Let's not be left behind. If the books have arrived, let's use books. The church fought against books for many years, didn't want people reading. And we're not going to do this with the digital world and our online presence. So expand your presence. We said, do old things better. And then we said, do new things. And I trust you've been challenged by that. Then we started looking at how to actually enhance our digital impact, and this is what we actually want to do today. And so the link for the resources folder from last session, so not for today's extra material, is there. It's going to be popped into the chat. It's a Gen C 2020 folder. You can access material, the presentation, video, everything in there, extra resources too. And then today's about stepping up your digital teaching. So specifically, how do we teach and make sure it's effective? There's a folder that goes along with today as well. Gen C2. Don't forget, when you use Bitly links, those capitalization is important. You'll see it in that folder. Right now, you won't get this presentation unless you have access to that folder. So bit.v/genc2. So what keys can I impart to you about digital teaching? When I did a diploma in training at Demlin, one of the first things that was ever said, now remember that I was trained as a pastor. I was trained to stand and preach for 35, 40 minutes with three bullet points and a conclusion and a gospel call. The first thing that the lecturer said was, if you want to communicate and if you've got a lot of material to cover and you don't mind if people don't remember anything or do anything with what you've told them, then use lecture. I mean, I was trained as a lecturer almost, as a preacher, as a communicator. And I'm not today suggesting that preaching is old school, but how we communicate, and particularly in the digital world, is going to be so, so critical. So here we go. I want you to do something with me this morning. When I teach you these seven principles, I don't want you to just rush through them and say, okay, I'll think about that later. I want you to remember the seven. And I'm going to teach you a memory technique known as a memory palace. Basically, it's an olden day thing. I've put an article from Joshua Fora, a YouTube link, a TED Talk link into the folder about using your memory. And he unpacks this idea. You might have heard speakers say, in the first place, in the second place, in the third place, in the fourth place, and finally. Well, that came from ancient days when people doing stand-up talking would place information in different places around the room. And so this could be objects in your room, could be landmarks on your journey, on your way to work. Let's use the room. So what I'm going to do is I've chosen, and this is what I can see as I sit here in my daughter's bedroom this morning. There's a wardrobe, a big Narnia wardrobe next to me. There's a dressing table. There's a door. There's a short cupboard. There's the PC station. There's a long cupboard. And there's a bed. These are my seven locations ready for me to make a memory to each one of the seven keys that I'm going to teach you about this morning. So you don't use my seven locations, you use your own seven, right? And so what I want you to do right now, look around where you're sitting. Hopefully you're not just staring at a wall. If you are, look around and try from left to right. Don't cross yourself back to these. Look around, identify seven things, and get ready to place one of these at each point. Okay, so this is how to take your memory to the next level. This is how I've remembered 21 theories of the atonement, so that when I speak to students in the leadership course, I don't have to look at my notes. I know all 21 of those theories because I've placed a memory palace around my home, from the front door, from the ransom theory to the satisfaction theory to the moral government theory to the moral influence theory to the shared theory to the scapegoat theory, etc. And I'm just making my way through my house. So I hope you've got it. Your seven location memory palace. I'm going to give you a learning principle, and then I'm going to give you the implication for how we must teach. So number one, people learn best when they can access the material. I just insulted your intelligence. Obviously, if someone can't be online and you're sharing a digital teaching, they're not going to learn. So the most important thing is they can access. If someone is blind, then it's no good giving them a book. So you would tailor your teaching to however it is that they are able to process and learn. Key number one, because people learn when it's accessible, or when they can access the material, we make everything accessible and we cater for people with different data limits. You might remember I mentioned this last time. When lockdown started, we realized that data is not equally distributed. Not everyone has fiber connection like I'm sitting with right here. So Paul said, become all things to all people. You need to make what you are sharing accessible with everyone. If 10% of your audience can actually do data transfer, if they have access to the internet, it doesn't help thinking you're doing a great job teaching if most of them can't access the material. So later we're going to use WhatsApp to deliver teaching in a data limited environment, and you'll be able to experience that firsthand. So make sure everyone can access it or they won't learn. So people learn best when they can access the material, so we make teaching accessible. My word, what is that? There's a lion right here in the wardrobe. Ah, I see that somehow Aslan the lion has been able to escape Narnia with the access code and he's arrived right here in this cupboard. I will never forget the principle of access or accessibility if I remember the location and the object I've placed there. So 10 seconds, think about your place, create something. Maybe the object itself is the trigger. Maybe you want to place something there. You'll see I'll be placing 7 objects. And when you've placed your thing, for a bit of fun, you might just want to pop the word accessible. When you know it's in your mind and you've got it stored somewhere, pop it into the chat and then we'll move on. It's something that you're going to remember. Sometimes the more bizarre it is, the better. But it's totally up to you what you actually choose to do. Okay, so you've got something. Key number one, it needs to be accessible. Right, let's jump on to the second learning principle. People learn best when many of their senses are involved. The more you can include people's senses, the more that they are going to be with you and experience. So if they can see and hear and, if possible, feel and touch, all the better. So here is the teaching principle. You need to make it creative. Creative is obviously your key word. So we share the material in as many different ways as possible. For me, gone are the days where you stand and speak for an hour and you think you can hold people's attention. As a generation, most of us, most of this young generation, have been raised in a digital world and will multitask. So we need to work hard at getting and keeping attention. In live preaching, in our youth group, we often used to tell preachers, you have to do something different every 7 minutes to really keep attention and make sure people are tracking with you. So we share our material in different ways. Oh, maybe we ask a question at the beginning. Then we share a video. Then we give an interactive assignment. Then we debrief. Then we give a task to be completed as homework, for example. And we throw in other things like stats and quotes and stuff. And obviously we're using video, images, and audio. And we hope to model some of that today. So how am I going to remember the fact that people learn best when many of their senses are involved, so we make teaching creative? Well, for me, when I look at the dressing table, I see D.Va from Overwatch, that mechanized young lady, and I know that my daughter, who's a cosplayer, is able to transform herself creatively at that station into D.Va. And I should be showing a picture now of what she looks like. It's like uncanny of the transformation with her creativity. What will you remember? Accessibility and then creativity. Do something in your second location to remember this. I'm giving you just 10 seconds and then maybe pop it in the chat and we can take it further. Something unusual, something large, something that jumps out of you. D.Va sitting over there kind of does it for me and makes me remember it very easily. Okay, you've got something. If you want to pop the word creative in there, why am I asking you to do something so silly in the chat? Well, you're engaged, right? You're thinking, you're participating. You're on your keyboard 1 minute, you're looking. And obviously, you, apart from licking the screen, taste is not going to be recommended today. But hopefully, you've got a good cup of coffee somewhere in front of you. Okay, are you ready? I'm going to take you into the next learning principle. People learn best when they can process what they receive. People learn best when they can process what they receive to learn. Yes, stretch people, but people need to be able to process. And so The teaching principle, key number three, is make it manageable. Share the material in bite-sized chunks. Break it down for people. Deliver it in small bits. Don't overwhelm people. Break your 30-minute talk into smaller sections. Remember, less is best. Less is more. Micro-learning is a new concept in learning where we break material up into smaller, digestible segments, critical for digital teaching. So reduce clutter. Only use things that really help and are part of the learning experience. So people learn best when they can process what they receive. So we make teaching manageable. We make teaching manageable. How are you going to remember that? I'm amazed at how our panther, which is actually a black cat, is able to, how he manages to open the door just with a paw. I mean, he is like super, super smart. What are you going to do to remember the third key? Make it manageable. Something unusual, something that you'll never forget, and make the connection. So far we've said, let's make it accessible, let's make it creative, let's make it manageable. Okay, and if you want to just pop that word manageable into the chat as I carry on, as I chase the clock. Learning principle number four, people learn best when they are actively involved in the process, in the learning experience. People learn best when they're actively involved in the learning experience. It's no good if they are passive spectators. They won't learn. You need to motivate them to want to learn. And they'll do this when you make it interactive. Create a dialogue with the learner. You're not just having a one-way conversation. You're not just, it's not a content drop. That doesn't work. Posting a 20-minute video won't or will rarely, if ever, change the lives of your high schoolers. We need to engage with people for change to actually happen. Every time we share a video, we need to engage with people about what they've just learned. So let's pull it together. Number four, people learn best when they're actively involved in the process, so we make our teaching interactive. The t-shirts that my daughter is crazy about, her Star Wars t-shirts, suddenly come alive and the door of the short cupboard opens and out come this interactive, active, intergalactic experience as these stormtroopers are shooting at me and I'm ducking and diving. The more bizarre, the less chance I will have remembered. How are you going to remember? Key number four, that our teaching needs to be interactive. Active, interactive. While I'm speaking and moving on, you might want to pop the word interactive into the chat because your mind's going to associate it for later. Later there's a test and hopefully you won't fail. Learning principle number five. People learn best when they are guided by a caring teacher. When people know that their teacher cares about them, when they know that the teacher knows their names, knows something about their lives, and when the teacher begins to share about their lives, when the teacher's there for them, when the teacher's expectant that change will happen. When we engage in online mentoring with people, as we invest our lives in learners, it makes the world of difference. Number five, as a result of that idea, we need to make our teaching guided. So we walk with learners along the way. People learn best when they're guided by a caring teacher, so we make the teaching guided. Sitting at that PC is a five-year-old girl playing Jumpstart. Now, why do I remember that? Because I taught my kids the educational program Jumpstart 2 decades ago. It was one of the first things to hit the computer world, almost before the internet was really a thing. And they were able to learn basic computing skills through Jumpstart. And I can remember guiding them to develop computer skills. No wonder my oldest son is an IT specialist and my daughter is an anime artist like there is no other. Make the teaching guided. What will you do to remember that as we head into our last two principles? You might want to post the word guided into the chat. Let me give you a sixth learning principle. Hopefully you stored it away in your memory for the test. People learn best when they are motivated to learn. People learn best when they're motivated to learn, when they want to learn, when they feel that it's worthwhile, when they feel like, you know what, I'm going to get something out of this. This is going to meet a need. This is going to help me grow. You'll find that people will show up and participate a whole lot more. If their parents are driving them to participate, as many of us parents do with our kids, That's the least best motivation. So like I said in the last session, we need to make our teaching attractive. Our material needs to look good. Obviously, we're not Hollywood. We can't necessarily share perfect video, high quality with real-life action, but make it as good as you can. So be sure that everything you share is attractive, because aesthetics are important. They pull people in. They keep attention. If it doesn't look great and if it's not relevant, people will click elsewhere. There's a lot of distractions that they can take. I hear the sound coming out, muffled out of that long cupboard, and I go across and open it up expecting to see someone, and all there are in the cupboard is no person, just these attractive dresses and coats. Attractive. Let's make the teaching attractive. You might want to put the word attractive in the chat. Finally, as I wrap up, learning principle number 7. People learn best when they have time to process what they hear. You need to not feel overwhelmed by how much you're receiving, and also you mustn't feel like, wow, I've got no time to do anything. I do realize I'm maybe giving you a little bit too short amount of time to create each of your stations in your memory palace. And that's a challenge for learning, to not overshare, maybe rather share 5 principles and give the rest of the time for people to be able to work it. So let's make whatever we do relaxed. Our teaching needs to feel relaxed. You know how we use white space in books? Well, we need to use digital white space. There needs to be those moments when we just think and reflect and pause and a bit of downtime. Hey, what do you think about this? I'm going to give you 30 seconds and then we'll carry on. That type of idea really helps us to do that. Why don't you take out a notebook, for example, tell your high schoolers, and write down something that's impacted you. Don't let people feel like you're rushing through the material. So because people learn best when they have time to process what they hear, so we make teaching relaxed. And it's 11 o'clock in the morning, and my daughter is still lying in bed because she's been up watching anime all night, drawing manga artwork, and she's chilled and relaxed. And I won't forget that. It's in my mind. What is the thing you're connecting to the last principle of being relaxed? As you're doing that, I'm looking around the world, the room, and I'm seeing that it needs to be accessible. It needs to be creative. Our teaching needs to be manageable. Our teaching needs to be interactive. Our teaching needs to be guided. Our teaching needs to be attractive. And our teaching needs to be relaxed. You ask me this in a week's time, I will recount what the keys are. So what have you been able to do so far? You might want to pop the word relaxed into that chat. So be sure to make your teaching accessible, creative, manageable, interactive, guided, attractive, relaxed. Another way you could remember this is to take the other form of memory, which is the first, is the rhyming of 1, gun, 2, shoe, 3, tree, 4, door, 5, half, 6, stick, 7, heaven. And you just make a connection with each of those. And that's another technique that you could have used, depending on what you're trying to remember. So how would you evaluate a learning situation? Well, you would ask this question about each. How did we make it? Notice it's not what, was it good, was it bad? How did we make it accessible? How did we make it creative, etc.? And you would walk through each of those and say, how did we actually do? So I'm going to pause there. I want to model these 7 keys. You'll see them in various levels and degrees in the learning experience that we're going to have here. This is the time for you to grab your phone. This is the time where you are going to need to be in the group, digital learning. Okay, so you've got WhatsApp. I can see there's a bunch of us. There are no less than 43 participants. If you're not in the group, you need to be that using that link. I'm going to give you 10 or 20 seconds, and then we're going to post. If you don't have WhatsApp or you can't quite connect it, you will see this simulated on the screen. There's only one place that you would be forced to use the text option and not the video option, but it's only a once-off place, and so you'll easily be able to do that. So I'm going to stop sharing my screen at that some point. I'm going to go dark and quiet on this view at the moment. Henning is going to take over, and he's going to show his screen. So join me on WhatsApp. So effectively, what's happening is that this is our youth group experience. We are meeting weekly. We have a short, it's going to be about a 10, 12, 15 minute session most before we head back into Zoom. And let's say that we have a very mixed youth group with great diversity. Some people have fiber, some people are on really pay as you go and almost can't access except the most basic chat, and we'll demonstrate how this works. So you won't hear me speak again, as I will be taking you through this process. So you're there, either you're there or you're following on screen, and I trust this would be a good example of some of the keys to digital teaching. Yo, yo, you should be heading back from the Zoom, back to Zoom from WhatsApp. I trust you're back. Word to the wise, don't run a small group engagement on WhatsApp with a group of, 50 to 100 active youth leaders. It could be a monster of an experience. And so really exciting that we can actually use technology that we use for one purpose, we can repurpose it and make it really dynamic. So here's what we want you to do. We're going to have Zoom send you into groups of three, and there are three questions. On a scale of 1 to 10, where 10 is excellent, how would you rate the effectiveness of the learning experience and why? Of course, you could throw in something that didn't work, something that was a challenge. I picked up some things along the way, I'm sure you did, that made it tough to progress and not let it feel like it was rushed. Number two, which of the keys did you notice in the experience? Accessible, creative, manageable, interactive, guided, and attractive, and relaxed. And hopefully you've remembered what those are. You'll all see these questions in the chat. And finally, what one thing do you need to do differently in your online teaching? And so I'm going to hand over to Shannon. I'm going to stop sharing my screen, and she will send you into the groups. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. I trust that was a really, really, really awesome time. And just want to remind you, at this point, we were going to head straight into part five, quick Q&A. We're going to actually allow the next speaker to take us from here. So in the meantime, if you have any questions you want to ask, and also as the next speaker is sharing, you might also want to ask questions out of that. So both of us, myself and Stuart, will be available for that. So Q&A is coming up, but it is my privilege now to introduce the youth director from Encounter Youth at Every Nation Rosebank. He happens to be the music director of our worship ministry in the wider church there as well, a long-time serving lead guitarist with We Will Worship. He's studying law at the moment, so how he does all that at the same time, the fact that him and I have started a company around productivity training that we do on the side as well. Man, you're a busy chap, Stuart. We're just so grateful that you've joined us today and that you're here to help us engage with high schoolers in an online world. So I'm going to take a back seat, and thanks, friend. Take it away.
Thanks so much, Mark. Jeez, it's such a privilege to be speaking with you as always, and thanks to everybody else who have me presenting for you. I'm just going to share my screen quickly. Today, I'm going to be covering, as you said, Mark, about engaging youth online. The reason I'm excited for this is because it really is a little bit of an application of a couple of the stuff that you just spoke to us about, but we're going to dive straight in and see how that all applies. Okay, so before we actually get into everything, I want to introduce everybody to a friend of mine. His name is Joe. Right, so Joe is a responsible 16-year-old. As you can see, he knew he's going to be on a Zoom call with over 50 people, so he's wearing his mask. So he's very responsible. But Joe, I'm trying to think of the name that you give somebody who isn't very significant or doesn't have a name. Joe, what is it, Joe? Niemand, there we go. Joe Niemand. Let's give him Joe. Okay. So I know that it's Joe Soap, but Niemand made a lot more sense to me, all right? So let's just for a second look at Joe's world of engagement right now. Let's just assume for a second that it's no COVID, and let's look at the different areas of how he engages online. Remember, we're talking about engaging online. All right. So if you look in the top left-hand corner of your screen, you're going to see a little bit of a key over there. All the yellow arrows point to social engagement that happens online. All the blue arrows point to platforms that are primarily, and I say this carefully, primarily entertainment. In other words, their first focus isn't to engage you socially. Their first focus is to engage you on an entertainment level. And then the up arrows that you may see over here, that is free Wi-Fi. He has access to free Wi-Fi when he enters either school or church. And over here, that's limited Wi-Fi. All right, so let's take a step into his world quickly. As you can see, the first and biggest arrow over here on the left-hand side is his social or physical engagement. In other words, he connects with friends socially and physically. And how does he do that? He goes to school. There's a stack of books over there. He goes to youth. And through youth and school, he has access to friends. If you see the little friendship circle there by the yellow arrow. And he also connects with friends playing sport. And that happens on both levels. He plays a little bit of sport when he goes to youth, and he plays sport when he goes to school. So let's take a look now at how he engages online, whether he's at home or, and let's assume for just a second he goes home. He's not engaging outside of his home. He now goes online. That's the arrow right in the middle of your screen pointing upward. Well, here he has access to limited Wi-Fi. Let's get 80 gigabytes per month. And that's to share with the whole family. Five. So very limited access to data. Then if you look to the left, he's got a cell phone. And on that cell phone, he is what we call a very modest social media user. Because he's only Instagram and WhatsApp on his phone. Those are what he uses as his social engagement tools. In other words, on Instagram, he chats a bit to friends. He likes photos. And yes, we know that Instagram is also entertainment, but it's moving very, very much more into a social engagement sphere. Absolutely, WhatsApp is where most of his friends are. That's why his friendship circle is bigger on WhatsApp. Then, obviously, TikTok, that's the little icon you're looking at that looks like a D or a musical note. He's got Spotify, and he's got YouTube on his cell phone. Right, let's look at what else he has in his environment. He's got a little computer over there, and on his computer, he's got, if you're following me on the right-hand side, he's got YouTube and Call of Duty. He's old enough to play Call of Duty because he is 16 years old. So, as you said, he's responsible. And then he's got Facebook, and the only reason he's installed Facebook is because his mom said that he hasn't liked any of her photos. So, otherwise he would not be there. And so, the little arrow there is very tiny because he's got a little tiny engagement. On Facebook also, he's got a very small circle of friends. The icon on the far right there is an app called Discord. Discord he found via playing Call of Duty. Now, that's a little app where people socially engage while they're playing a game. So that's his little world. Now, if you follow me on the right-hand side, on the entertainment side, he's got access to a TV. You can see there's DSTV there. He's also got a smart TV, so this TV is connected to limited Wi-Fi, which he can watch Netflix and Showmax. So, in Joe's life, COVID-19 happened. And so let's look at what happened when he encountered COVID-19. He can't physically interact, but the repercussions go a little bit further. He now no longer has access to free Wi-Fi. And also, he doesn't have lots to keep him entertained because he used to play lots of sports. He used to love soccer and he loved hockey, which he played at school. Now, if you're looking at the online engagement, has gone up. So he's now had to rely a little bit more on online engagement, and he's been in lockdown for a while, so his hair's grown a bit, as you can see. So he's online, and now his reliance on limited online activity is increased. But look at, just for a second, his social media on the left by his phone, that's also gone up. Because now the only way he can connect with his friends is on either Instagram or WhatsApp. Then he has also installed another app. And that app over there is called House Party. We'll chat about it in just a second. He's still got TikTok. He's still got YouTube. And he still has Spotify, which are primarily entertainment. Now, House Party does have a social aspect to it. So there you can see a little circle of friends. Now, if you're looking around the rest of the picture, you can see that his social engagement has gone up significantly on the platforms that he has available to him. And that is now his new reality. He now has no other choice other than to rely on these apps and these things to help him keep engaged. You might see another icon on his computer, and that is called Zoom. He now has to gain his education via Zoom. Now, education has found their way into his online world. All right. So, let's look at one more scenario before we quickly discuss the online platforms. He runs out of data at home. He has no more access to free data anywhere else. The only apps that you can see are still bright. The rest of the apps have gone dark. Is because he doesn't have access to them. On the apps on the left, you can see he has access to WhatsApp, and his circle of friends now grows on WhatsApp because that's the only way that he can connect. We'll explain in just a second why he still has access to WhatsApp, even though he doesn't have data at home. Then on his computer, he has access to Call of Duty. So the only options that Joe has over there is to either engage on WhatsApp or to sit and play Call of Duty on his computer there. Entertainment wise, he's only got DSTV. He now no longer has access to Netflix or Showmax. Now this is a real world thing that's happening right now. Lots of teenagers are faced with this specific scenario. Some of them have access to unlimited data, and they're fortunate to do so. But the question we need to ask ourselves as youth pastors and as youth leaders is, where do we fit in to Joe's world? And the answer is actually, we need to fit in everywhere we can. All right, so let me go back to that photo quickly. We can make a way to fit in on WhatsApp. The reason he has access to WhatsApp still is because you can buy a bundle from your service provider, which allows you access to WhatsApp. It's something like 35 Rand, allows you access to anything that happens on WhatsApp for about 30 days. That's downloading videos, downloading music, audio. You just can't make calls. So he still is able to stay connected for a small amount of money. All right, let's look now at the online side of online engagement. All right, online platforms. What we're going to do in this section here is just look at what platforms are available and how we as youth leaders can try and hop onto these platforms to encourage not just social connection, but connection with God. Because that's really our job, is to keep connected and keep people connected to a spiritual journey, right? So in this section, just to make it a little bit easier for me, if you see a yellow tag, that app is mainly or primary focus is a social engagement. If you see a blue tag, that is an entertainment-focused app. It might have a social aspect to it. For instance, TikTok. You would go and scroll and watch videos, but you can chat with somebody. However, chatting is not its main focus. I hope that makes sense. All right, let's move. Let's look at the first platform. We're going to look at three of the main platforms, and then I'll give you just a short rundown of the rest. Right, Instagram, firstly. Instagram Live, what do you have access to if you were to get onto Instagram Live and engage with your youth? Right. So we're assuming that Joe still has access to internet at home, right? Now, Instagram Live allows you to stream live videos, and you can actually dial somebody in or have a conversation with that person for an hour, and they're busy rolling out for a maximum of four people. But at the moment, it's three people. So you can get three people onto your live stream, and you can engage with them. So we currently do this at youth on Friday nights. We go live in the time slot where we used to have youth. We now go live on Instagram and have conversations and chat about things and make some jokes. The value of it is the live feed that happens while you are streaming live. There's a little chat that goes on. Now that's where whoever does join the chat gets to chat with their friends, gets to catch up, say hi, how are you doing, give us a wave, put some questions out there to the topics that you're chatting about. Lots of other youth groups have gone in there and done challenges and done fun things and made it interactive. That's totally, absolutely cool. That is one of the avenues you can use. It also allows you to upload that after you've gone live. So guys can check that out after you've gone onto your live feed. That is a very strong option. As you can see, Instagram Live is now becoming a very strong social engagement. Let me show you this stat quickly. This I found very, very interesting. On the right-hand side of your screen, you can see that's what Instagram Live looks like. And you have little emojis there that you can react to the chat. That little fading words, there's actually the chat that you can click on and see everybody joining and chatting with you. Some of you guys might be already familiar with this. But on the left-hand side, that's an interesting slide because it shows me when people are most engaged globally on Instagram. Now, you would see that our darker spots are the hot spots, in other words, when everybody is connected. And if you're looking carefully, Fridays after 5 p.m., very little people are engaged. So what I've noticed lots of youth groups doing is engaging in the afternoon or around 10 or 12 when there are lots of people online so that they can get their presence out there. So that's a very good option to use if you are using Instagram as one of your platforms. Right. So here's a couple of steps before we move on to the next engagement or the next platform, which is the average time spent on Instagram is 53 minutes. Per day, compared to Facebook's users who are on there for 58 minutes per day. I assume it's because they type slower. Okay, right. Next, young people love Instagram. With a billion users on the app, 71% of them are under the age of 35. So that is definitely a platform for your young adults. All right. I hope you're still with me. I know I'm rattling through, but we've got very limited time. WhatsApp. Now, Mark covered a lot of this already. Now, let me take you through why WhatsApp is just such a great social engagement app that you can jump onto. We already covered WhatsApp bundles. 30 days of access to WhatsApp, 35 Rand. Without having access to Wi-Fi, you access it through your cell phone provider. All right. Downloads. With WhatsApp bundle, you can download anything. Now, there is a restriction on videos. You can only download 65 megabytes of a video, or a 65 or 64, and you can download audio, and you cannot make or receive any calls. There's one thing I really would like to highlight to everybody, and having studied law as well, it's something that's very in the forefront of my mind, and that is that we all have a responsibility to look after the people in our WhatsApp chats. If anybody posts anything that is of a controversial nature, legally you have to distance yourself from it. In other words, you have to post on the group and say, we don't agree. By law, you can be held vicariously liable if you do not distance yourself from any behavior like that. So that's very important for us, I think, as youth leaders, to make sure that we can manage well. We are now custodians of a legal environment where legality applies. All right, so moving along, let me give you an example of how we engage on our WhatsApp groups. As you can see on the left-hand side, there's Encounter Youth, and we send out devotions on our WhatsApp group. And because you can download if you have a WhatsApp bundle, we send it out, as Mark, as you did, we send out a written devotion, and then we send out a audio devotion, and then we send out a video devotion. And then I'm just going to show you 15 minutes of an example of our, oh, sorry, 15 seconds of a video devotion that we do. Hey everybody, I'm doing devotions with you this evening, and what we're going to be talking about is the rest of God. So how do
we... Right, so sorry, we have to move very quickly because time is short. But that is how we engage. So what we're doing is covering all the bases. If you would like to watch a video, like Mark said, make it accessible. That's WhatsApp. WhatsApp makes things maximally accessible, not only because it's convenient. Right, let's quickly chat about YouTube. Right, so if you are a larger youth group, you might want to think about going on to YouTube. Here's why. YouTube Live allows you to schedule a video for a specific day. It's called a premiere. So on YouTube, you would go on and you would schedule it, and then it notifies all your subscribers by email or by notifications on the WhatsApp app that you are about to go live. We go live on Sundays at 5 p.m., and we deliver a youth message which reframes the main message for a youth context. So we add a little clever tweaks on the window or on the some of these little playful things. SpongeBob will run across the screen when we're talking about Joseph running away from Potiphar's wife. Just to keep it engaging, you can choose how you want to engage, but keep it fresh. Keep it interactive. The live chat on YouTube also works when it comes to premiering a video. It works just as well as an Instagram chat. YouTube, legally, you are very restricted when it comes to using music that is copyrighted with your videos. They will remove it if it infringes on the rights. All right, so this is what it looks like when you go live on a YouTube stream straight from YouTube, and there on the right-hand side, you can actually see the chat happening there, which you can engage on. All right, this is a great step. This is what you must know. When you're going to put up YouTube live videos, this you need to pay attention to. The average duration of anybody viewing your video is going to be 3 minutes and 50 seconds. It's not going to change. After 3 minutes and 50 seconds, people start dropping off the viewing. If you can see here, this graph shows you that if you've managed to keep 60% of your users by the end of your video, you've done very well. So don't be discouraged if you see that your videos don't last or that your subscribers stop watching after 3 minutes and 50 seconds. All that must say to you is that you've got 3 minutes 50 seconds to make the maximum impact that you can. All right. So I won't really go through all of this. So you guys can get slides from me later. But this YouTube gives you a whole bunch of stats. It tells you who's watching, what your age group is that's watching, and a couple of other stats over there. Here's what I suggest you do is put a description in your YouTube video that says where you can find information, where your viewers can connect with you. Also, if you need to, for copyright issues, link to copyright sound. That there is sound that I got free from that website, and all they said was put a link in the description. I've got some of those resources. Please message me if you need. All right, one thing here I want to draw your attention to is just how long the videos are. We try to keep them under 15 minutes, and I'll show you why in just a second. Right? I won't play the sample for you because we need to move time. You guys can go check it out on the website. Right, TikTok. All right, I know this of you said we'll only do 3, but let me just talk you through the basics of TikTok. I know that everybody thinks about TikTok and whether it is a legitimate online resource that you need to make use of. And note the blue little tag is an entertainment-focused app. So here's some stats about TikTok. 9 out of 10 TikTok users use the app multiple times daily. This is extremely high for app usage. 90% of all TikTok users use the app daily. That's very, very high. All right. Here's the demographic that you can encounter on TikTok. TikTok users are aged between 16 years old and 24. That sounds right down our alley when it comes to youth. But you have to realize that TikTok has its positives and its negatives. Please watch out for all of that and exposing your youth to some highly sexualized stuff. But at the same time, it has fantastic Christian content on it too. Very, very motivational things and very good Christian speakers. Again, 16 and 24, that's where TikTok is targeting and successfully so. Right? Let's just quickly run through other platforms and then I'm going to close and hand back to Mark. Right? That was Joe's world of engagement. Let me show you quickly. If you're following him on his cell phone, we've covered Instagram, we've covered WhatsApp, we'll chat to you about House Party, we've covered TikTok, we've covered YouTube, and Spotify as well. You can definitely go and send out playlists. The reason he's got Spotify is because it's absolutely free. Call of Duty we'll chat about just in a second on his PC on the right-hand side, and Discord as well as Zoom. And also, we'll chat about Netflix and Showmax. So here is the little bit of a rundown of all the rest of those apps. Facebook, the average user is 40 plus, but they do have more users than Instagram. You can set up a Facebook group and keep parents up to date and everybody else who has teenagers. That's where you want to engage them. They're all on Facebook, and so you put out your notification messages there. Notice it is a social app. House Party is a social app that invites friends to play little games, little board games that they've put online. It's really cool. You can invite your youth to play in the games night together. It's both social and entertainment. Then there's Discord. That's primarily for gamers. They set up this room, and in the room you can chat. You can voice chat or you can video chat to your friends, but they normally chat to each other while they're playing games, saying, go left, you go left, I go. That's okay, you watch the guy, and that's how you use Discord. But you can invite some youth to play a game. It might not be Call of Duty. I try to watch out, but it's quite violent. So Netflix movie and TV streaming, you know what it's about. Yeah, you can suggest Christian movies for teens to watch with their families. This has worked extremely well in our environment. Showmax as well, same thing. Zoom, you can use to play quizzes and escape the room challenges, which has been very, very popular with our youth. Obviously, access to data on all of these apps is a must, right? Then lastly, engaging youth. Just remember the 7-38-55 rule. Written and spoken word is 7% of what you carry across. 38% is carried across in your language or your tone. 55% is carried over in visual or body language. Now, some of this is achievable now, and some of it is not achievable because of not being able to physically contact people. Here's what I need you to pay attention to. The maximum youth attention span, 20 minutes. All right. And I think that might be generous to some youth. All right. But just consider this a text. The sweet spot for text, for reading something, is 3 minutes. And maybe 3.5 minutes. If anything's gonna take more than 3 minutes to read, your youth are probably gonna lose interest. You can push as much as you want to 5 minutes and 30 seconds, but that is the maximum that I suggest that you engage online. Voice notes, leave it at 3 minutes and 30 seconds. 5 minutes maximum would be fantastic. Well, that would be pushing it. 3 minutes, 30 is the sweet spot. If you're gonna put a video online, you need to realize what Mark said. 7 minutes, you need to refresh your thought. You need to do a call and response or something like that, or a call to action. Anything less than 12 minutes, just think about your own engagement on YouTube. If you see a video that's more than 15 minutes, are you going to spend the time watching? But if you see a video that's closer to 10 minutes, you're gonna think, well, maybe it's worth watching. 15 minutes maximum. Try to keep it there. Obviously, these are not hard and fast rules. You can do an hour session if you set the expectation beforehand. But if you're going to put these videos up online, just remember that the shorter and bite-sized you make it, the more chance you have of getting your message across. All right. So lastly, this is the last slide. In your online engagement strategy, be specific. Know what you want to use each platform for and use all these action words. Make it measurable. Find a way to see how many people are viewing your things and how many people are responding. Make it achievable. In other words, put put it within your scope, set a target of an achievable amount of people. In other words, we have about 90 youth. I'm not going to expect 110, 120 youth to join on our online engagements. Make it relevant. That is a very big point. Make sense and make sure it improves it in some sort of way. Your online engagement is relevant and stays fresh. Watch your time is the long one, last one. So keep it smart, and you should be good when you're engaging online. So that's the end of it. I want to thank you for letting me speak, and thank you also from Joe, and I hope you all.
Awesome, Stuart. Thank you. Thank you so much. What an incredible impartation that was. Just gave us the sense of, man, this is real. This is the world of high schoolers. And we do have some questions that have already come in. And I know that Shannon is going to help me with this. And wow. So any questions that you guys might have, Shannon? Are we going to do this?
Yes, we're going straight into it. All right, Mark and Stuart, I'm going to ask you guys. There's a few questions that came through. Let's start with the first one. Somebody wrote here that there are always a few teens that you just can't get to engage or participate in anything you do. It doesn't matter how attractive or accessible you make something. They seem uninterested in everything. How do we reach those kind of people?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And it's not different to an actual youth group. You know, even in a youth group, you'll get high schoolers. I'm thinking of some that I would spend most of my time with who aren't necessarily engaged with everything. They seem to be there for either different reasons, or they're super introvert. They're really uncertain in groups. And I know that for me, it's about personal connection, personal relationships, showing that person a little bit of an extra bit of love, a bit of extra, you know, connection, pulling them in, finding something they like and doing that, and maybe bribing them sometime with, hey, I'll go do this if you jump in next. And I know that helps, that works with someone that I've engaged with, particularly around the youth space. I have just dropped a new article into the online folder called Handling Different Personalities. It's written not for the digital world, but I think the implication is that you would have the mouse, you'll have the motor mouth, you'll have the parrot, you'll have the mule, and you'll even have a donkey. And how do you deal with all those? Obviously, now we're doing it online. So have a look at that. It's in there. Stuart, something to add?
Yeah, Mark, you know what we did is we got all of our youth leaders, and we got this idea from another youth that was doing it, to phone every or as many youth as they can. At 4 p.m. every day, we set an alarm and we say, okay, we'll phone somebody, or at least send them a voice note, or something similar, an SMS if we can't send a voice note. I think it's important, as you're saying, that we can't make people do things, but we can let them know that we're there.
That's good.
So that when they're ready to reach out, we're there. And so correct, you're never going to reach everybody, but you can at least try.
I love it. I love what you guys are saying. Let's make it personal, and let's make those connections so crucial, because they buy into the person rather than the process first. I love that. All right, second question. How do you make your online learning manageable with teenagers so that it doesn't deviate from the primary focus? Do you want me to read that again?
Yes, please.
All right. My tenses here. Let's go. It says, how do you make your online learning manageable with teenagers so that it doesn't deviate from the primary focus?
I'm not quite sure what Thembelihle means from his perspective in that. But for me, a key purpose of ministry is teaching, is engaging, is being online, is whether it's face-to-face or some kind of engagement. So I think pulling it back to what you're trying to accomplish all the time is probably the answer that he's looking for. It's when I know what I want to accomplish. Let's say in this moment, I want to bring someone to the point of an awareness that God is real, I'm going to have that as my purpose, and then I'm going to make sure that I don't just send out a video that's going to do that, because maybe Joe doesn't have access to that and he's in lockdown. So I'll find an appropriate way to make it manageable for him. I'll put it down into bite-sized chunks. And if necessary, I'll say, here's an extra resource. So we're going to shorten it for this. Here's the gospel in 3 minutes. We've all seen those little YouTube clips that says, here's the creation of the world or the history of humankind in 5 minutes. And there's a place for that, but then we link them to something over and beyond that that they can still tap into. And I think that, so our purpose is engaging, is teaching, but it's to, I don't think making it manageable would detract from that. Actually, it's going to make it more powerful, more effective. Hey, Stuart?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Mark, the maybe unfortunate thing with online is that you don't know when somebody's going to access something. So it's online, and then the assumption is that they can access it whenever they need it. So I think if you go in just with that mindset, it's a lot better. Rather, you know, if you're in a room of teens, you can say, hey, get up your phone, pay attention. Or even if you're teaching a class, you can kind of, you know, get eye contact. But with things online, I think all you can do is make reference to that all the time, as you were saying. Say, hey, did you check this out? Or did you do that? Make them understand that the materials up there for them to check out whenever they can. That's just the online world, you know what I mean?
Yeah. All right. We spoke a lot about just youth ministry. Do you guys have any suggestions for how to reach kids ministry, for the kids ministry guys?
I think the principles remain the same. I mean, the seven keys, finding out what connections people are using. I know that our kids ministry has their online time straight after the service on a Sunday morning, and they would then release that. They would have videos, they'd have creative, they'd have singing. To me, it's the same, but age-related. I'm excited that you guys are doing something in July that Shannon's going to be mentioning, to focus the whole training that day on kids ministry, because there are similarities and there are uniquenesses. And for kids, it's even shorter attention span, has to be more active, there needs to be jumping up and down a whole lot more. Not always, not all the time. A lot more tactile in a way. And so that's something from my side for that. But I'm glad Generate Conference is not just concerned about high schoolers or young adults, but kids as well.
All right. Last question here is, how do we equip and inspire them on these platforms so that they minister and reach out to their friends? So creating discipleship, and I love that. And like taking that concept of Joe, and I see Shaul mention it here. How do we get Joe to take the gospel to Peter, Chris, and Annie? Mm-hmm. All right. So how do we create disciples in this?
Go, Stuart. Yeah. I think this is your ball game now.
Sure. So the first thing for Joe is to firstly make sure that you can connect with him. If he's connected, he can invite somebody else. So that's, I think, first step. Second step is to say to Joe, for instance, if it's you, Joe, for the sake of argument, you know, invite somebody onto Instagram while we are busy chatting. You are invisible. In other words, you know, nobody knows that you're there, or nobody knows that you're not there if you want to be invisible, and then see what it's about. So it's a little bit easier for us to ask people to bring friends along, because of the nature of online. I think it's so important to engage Joe, because that relationship must happen through him.
Awesome.
I really like that. Maybe if I land it for us, Shannon, I know we've gone a bit over this morning. Thanks for hanging in with us and sticking with us. But let me make one comment that is attributed to Benjamin Franklin, although it wasn't. It turns out it was about 300 years, you know, BC, I think, by a Chinese philosopher who said, "Tell me and I forget, teach me and I may remember, involve me and I learn." Here's the implications. That being told something is fleeting. Being taught something is more memorable, but learning something is unforgettable. And we encourage you to use various platforms, but to take the seven keys and to use them. And remember, maybe in your mind now, you can just whip around your memory palace. You can think of accessible. Right? You got it? Creative. Manageable. Interactive. Guided. Attractive. And relaxed. You should be able to do that because you've stored it away somewhere in your mind. And may your teaching go to the next level. Take these principles, use them for real life stuff. Break it down. Do it differently in different places. Go back through the presentation that you'll get when you get the video, including all of the incredible information that Stuart shared. And I know that it's going to be powerful. So thanks again, guys. Thanks, Stuart. You're awesome, bro. Thanks,
Thank
Shannon,
so much,
organizers.
Guys.
Really, really,
Thank
really
you, guys.
Awesome.
Can we just give them a round of applause where you're at? You can just celebrate them and just their input and everything like that. We have come to the end of today's session, and I really want to encourage you, if you want more information, if you want to grab hold of these tools and that kind of stuff, get connected. Go to our website at generateconference.co.za where you can just get more information there. Also, one last thing is 6 July, it's a Monday, 10 o'clock. As mentioned, we're going to be focusing again on the kids ministry and that kind of stuff. So if you're a youth pastor here, hey, how incredible was this? We really want to impart into also the kids ministry guys as well. So send along this concept to your youth pastor. They can register on our website as well. The registration link and everything is sorted and ready for them to register. So please don't shy away from that opportunity with them. So guys, may what you have learned today and the previous time as well just simmer in your spirit, and may you go and change this next generation. And I'm really praying for you guys and trusting that you will go and make massive transformation. So let me quickly pray and finish off this session with you, and we will release you. So Lord God, we come and pray for every single person that partook in this moment, who were a part of this session. Lord, I come and pray that even though it was primarily focused on an older generation, Jesus, we know that there's principles that the younger guys would also need. And we come and pray, Lord, that these principles will really be birthed in our hearts, Lord. And I come and pray that you will just come and lay one thing on our heart, Lord. One thing where we can go into our planning of our next year, planning of the rest of this year after COVID, just to come and inspire and really lay an inspiring place for teenagers and kids' ministries to really birth from it. And we come and pray that in your mighty name, Lord. Amen, amen, amen.